gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, hello. Stephanie Miller. Why, looky here. It's the day in talk radio when the heavy hundred top radio hosts in America come out and we all talk smack about each other.
That's right.
Yeah. There we are, number 11, ladies and gentlemen. This is.
I want full newspaper coverage. I want magazine stories. I want books. I want films. I want TV. I want radio. I want us on the air 24 hours a day. No. This is our moment.
No. Okay.
I would have thought Limbaugh would have been the first 50 spots in the air.
You're going by weight and not by volume.
Cause this is a day where talk radio hosts all over the country are talking smack about each other.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. I'm number one. I can't believe it. Yeah, I don't know what we were last year. 36? We're 11, ladies and gentlemen, with a bullet. Check it out.
Yep.
I love this. Comedian and radio and TV pro. TV pro refers to that I've had a bunch of TV shows canceled previously.
You TV were veteran. Paid to be on TV.
I'm a
so
TV
that
veteran.
Technically makes you a pro.
Sure. All right. It mostly is just about who you're in front of, though. I'm 11. Howard Stern, 12.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty major.
Oh, Neil Bortz. Oh, Neil Bortz, 13.
So you're ahead of the king of all media?
Apparently.
Wow. That'd make you the queen.
Am I the queen?
Sure.
Dun, da, da, da.
Give me some cheesy butter commercial music, please. I'm radio royalty now. All right. Oh, this is curious, though. Glenn Beck, number 9.
Number 9? Number 9.
That's interesting.
Even though he lost the TV show.
He doesn't have a TV show.
Right.
I do. And also, just for those of you paying attention, they just replaced my show in San Francisco with his show.
Yeah,
January 1st.
Are tanking.
The ratings are down. How much, Jim? I forget.
1,000%.
No, 90%.
Oh, okay.
The ratings are down 90%.
1,000,000%.
Nicely done. That's how you get to number 9, apparently.
Maybe they meant 90.
Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you, Talkers Magazine. Very, very exciting. All right. More importantly, someone saw my ass on the plane back from Madison.
Oh, who hasn't?
And that's,
really?
I haven't seen your ass on the plane.
Did they grab it?
No.
Oh.
Listen, this is the stuff that I like hearing the most. Gary, Steph, have to say I was on the United Airlines flight from Chicago yesterday. That was the leg back from Madison.
Right.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. I had the great pleasure of seeing your butt in person. It is all that. Unfortunately, you were too far too fast for me to catch up with you, telling you how much you love the show and your butt. Well, thank you, Gary.
You're very fast.
Ask him. Catch a shot of that. Oops. Okay.
You're very fast in the airport, I do have to say.
Thank you. Yeah, there's no catching
no.
me.
No.
Stephanie and Madison. You know Stephanie and Madison.
Yeah.
Calls all the time. Hi, Mama. Thank you so much for coming to Madison. Laughed so hard I needed my inhaler. Oh, dear. Almost a medical event.
Oh, dear.
You're my comedy pal. Cracking jokes as I laugh my pain away. Steph has MS. She has called
right.
the show before. No pressure, Mama. You're my main source of pain release. And
aww.
I know I'm not alone. That makes me worry for her. But okay, I love you, Steph. It's great to see you, too. Speaking of which, could we ask, not you, atheist, but could we ask for people's prayers for Roland, sexy liberal tour director? I have been a wreck all day yesterday. I don't know if you remember, a week or two ago, he was on his balcony in New York and something fell and hit him in the head.
I don't think you told that story on the air.
Yeah, anyway, but he got stitches. They said, oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
Oh. So he was having headaches Sunday after I gave him Advil at the airport after the sexy liberal. And yesterday he was in the ER. He had to have a hole drilled in his skull. To you know, relieve pressure
right.
And he is back home, and his mom is taking care of him. But we love you, Roland, if you're watching. I've been called his mom, and
he said his mom took away his cell phone, which is probably
this is probably not helping his recovery.
Yeah.
This high-strung, sexy liberal tour director, Roland Neckwitz, so even more high-strung today.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing right now. Mom!
My
Get
cell
me phone! My phone! I'm trying to use the phone, Mom! All right, so our thoughts...
I'm trying to use the phone!
All right, so thoughts and prayers out to sexy liberal tour director Roland, who is at home recovering. All right. Phil, check this out. We're making news left and right. We had Ann Romney's nanny call last week.
Yeah.
Phil, I don't know if this is It's, again, there's a lot of specific information. Don't know if this is legit or not. Phil writes, Ann Romney had two au pair. Is that how you say it?
Au pair.
Yeah. Girls. Mm-hmm. To raise her boys. I know because I dated one of them.
Oh, hey now.
Sabine from Belgium. Wow. The other girl was from Nice, France.
Okay.
That's Nice. I see. So they went and helped all the people in impoverished areas by giving them
France
jobs.
France and Belgium. Right.
South of France is where you find the best au pairs. They had a pair of au pairs, apparently, to raise
the kids. The plural is au pair. So it's not
au quatre.
She told me she spent a lot of time taking dressage lessons at the riding stable, Ann Romney.
Did she teach the au pair dressage?
Okay, so
it all sounds so 99%, doesn't it?
Okay, so when Tag Romney tweeted,
je m'appelle Mitt Romney.
When Tag Romney tweeted that he didn't have a nanny when growing up, I guess technically it's true because he had
an au pair.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Much hotter than a nanny.
It sounds hotter. Don't know if it's hotter.
I see. That was a little loophole he slipped through there.
Yeah.
Technically called a nanny. That's for poor people. Nannies are for poor people.
Plus you picture Nanny McPhee and it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, Mitt Romney with his hot mic moment. Ooh, hot mic. Hot mic. Oh. Yeah, that was the, Yeah, and first of all, how did you know that they're both such political animals? Of course she wasn't offended. They were giddy about the Hillary Rose comments about, oh, it was a birthday gift to me. Yeah, I mean, this is what the thing, when they crank up the outrage machine to 11, it's just, anyway, and what else did he let slip? Oh, he's going to get rid of the...
get rid of HUD?
HUD, yeah. Oh, because that's houses for poor people.
Yeah. Sure. He's going to get rid of the Department of Education. Yeah.
He wants to kick people out of their houses so that, other people can buy them and make a profit.
Yes, let's hurry off with this foreclosure
people
thing.
People of his class.
Oh, my goodness. Look at all these people loitering in their homes. Get out.
So what else isn't he telling us?
Yeah, exactly.
That he's planning on doing.
Hmm. Exactly.
Hmm.
Oh, you'll see.
Yeah. You'll
just
have to
wait.
Elect me first. Then you'll find out what my policies are.
Don't you want to wipe that smug, rich guy horse laugh face off for a moment?
Yeah.
Je m'appelle Mitt Romney.
Oh, what do I want to say to President Obama? Let's start packing.
Bienvenue.
Oh, lovey. Did you hear what I said to Dinosaur?
My wife and au pair would like to move into the
White
House.
Our au pairs will pack for you. I mean, seriously, a little ahead of himself, picking his vice president already, telling the Obamas to get packed. Really?
Wow.
Really? by the way, Paul writes, Steph, I liked your observation on Monday's show that the movie Titanic was a reflection on the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that if the GOP had been in charge of the ship, they would have first denied the ship was sinking, then blamed the iceberg for excessive regulations. Meanwhile, they would have loaded the job creators into a lifeboat, then chopped the remaining lifeboats up so the 1% would have firewood to keep them warm while they waited for the rescue. Thank you, Paul. I think that's a good summation.
Sure.
All right. Mike and Raleigh with a salute. Did you know Bane made him a rich man, I believe? Yeah. Good one, Mike and Raleigh.
I just got a text from the guy who owns the show that's trying to kill you for your life insurance money. He said, did you know that Steph is number 11 on the talkers
list? He does not listen to the show. He said something to me yesterday. I'm like, yeah. Do you watch the show?
He doesn't. Oh, bless him.
Do you know this? I know. He's just like, Rick. Like, and then he always sends us news updates on things like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Like, do you know what I
did? Did you know Rick Santorum dropped out of the race? You guys, okay, you might want to talk about that this morning.
Did you know that Zimmerman has a new lawyer? Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Just keep signing the checks.
Just wear something tight and keep sending the checks.
Also, there was an Italian boat that capsized. I don't know if you heard.
Okay, Angel in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Angel.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So, I was just calling because on yesterday, it was on every talk radio station that I turned to about Ann Romney and her being able to speak on the economic roles of working women and single mothers. And I was just wondering, why is the point getting so twisted? The point made was that we never talked about her being a working mother. We understand that being as a stay-at-home mother, you are still a working mother, very much so. But we're saying, how can you speak on the economic roles of a single working mother?
Angel, do you not know what kind of hard work it is to find the correct au pair in Nice, France? Do you know how... That is hard work, y'all. All right. Oh, this just in from the guy that owns the show. Apparently, Herman Cain has dropped out? I didn't...
Oh, wow.
Wow, thanks. Why does he think we don't have access to news wires of any kind? I don't...
I mean, what does he think this show is about?
Yeah, I don't
I mean,
think...
Does he realize that we deal in breaking news?
Yeah. It's about 3 hours.
I got to remember what he said yesterday. I'm like, yeah, we did all that yesterday. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. By the way, if you've been watching on Current, you can see me eating my homemade shake and bake like a crazed Wolverine, just picking it to shreds.
Yeah.
Okay, so lots of people have written already they want the recipe. So here it is. This is Mama's homemade shake and bake recipe. This is the most popular part of the show. Can I have some recipe music, please? Thanks so much. Okay. What's the thing you do? Eggs, a little milk
what's
in there?
What's the thing you... Oh, eggs?
Eggs, a little milk. And you get some breadcrumbs. You know, Progresso, whatever.
You make a dredge.
Right. Salt, pepper, a little paprika. The secret ingredient, ladies and gentlemen, thyme. Thyme.
Heals all wounds.
Whole lunch. Yeah.
Do you use panko or regular breadcrumbs?
Regular.
Oh, I would
you
use panko.
Oh, well, apparently I've aired already.
Well, no.
You normally correct my pronunciation, not my recipes, but fine. Use panko. Anyway.
Panko's awesome. It makes right, a whatever. Really, really crunchy
I'm
crust.
I'm telling you, times the... And then you just, you know... You know, you roll it, and then you bake it at 400.
You don't shake it?
No. There's no shaking about it. It's homemade shake and bake.
It's just bake.
No, so then it's just bake.
You just want to be able to say, I helped.
It's roll and bake.
I helped.
Fine, you helped. Fine, panko, whatever. Okay, that's it, and then you bake it at 400 for...
Panko sounds Polish, though.
45
right
minutes, you know, flip it halfway through.
Okay. Panko's actually Japanese.
Ah.
All right.
Hey.
Let's go to... where is Zeke? David in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I wasn't able to get in yesterday. I waited all 3 hours.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. But anyways, I just want to weigh in on the Ann Romney War on Women thing.
Yes.
Apparently, you know, one thing that was mentioned was the fact that, you know, Rush and Hannity and all the right-wingers jumped on that and said, oh, this woman is disgraceful. What she said was terrible. And they just... You know, they made a snap judgment. They didn't take the time to think, you know, let's take the time to analyze and, you know, think through what this woman really said, the substance and the content of what she said, which is what you guys and what all progressives do. But this is the thing.
And David, this off-mic moment is so telling. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, saying they're bad people. They're both completely political animals. They were not
totally
offended
not
at all. They were
all.
Giddy over this, you know.
I'm not denying that at all. Just one other thing I want to bring up is this study that was done in Rolling Stone.
Uh-huh.
It involves... It was at a local college in New England. These students were given so much beer to drink.
Uh-oh.
And what happened was they had a few progressives and they had a few conservatives, and they found that when they had so much beer, they were given like political questions like about their views on the issues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after getting so intoxicated, they all gave the conservative answer. Because the thing is,
Yikes, that's bad news for me. Drinking too much makes you Republican?
Yikes.
I might come full circle back again.
The thing is, when you're drunk, you tend to think with your lizard brain, so to speak. You know, you tend to
complex.
Snap judgments, you know, mm-hmm. simple black and white answers.
Yeah.
Because when you're sober, you know, you tend to, you know, think you're more willing to have the liberal perspective and be more open-minded to things.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting.
Once
all
the
right,
higher
David,
functions
you.
Of your brain are deactivated, you become Hal. My mind is going.
Yeah.
I can't feel it.
Daisy, Daisy.
You know what? Okay. I think poor people should be turned into mulch. That's a great idea.
Okay. Ben in Kentucky, speaking of Mitch McConnell saying poor people should be turned into mulch.
Yeah.
We don't know if he said it or not. Ben in Kentucky.
Yes. Last election, Kentucky voted in James Comer for agricultural commissioner. And Mitch McConnell, I don't believe he's helping his party none as far as legalizing hemp for them to grow. I mean, hey, yeah. Kentucky's a poor state.
Yes, it is.
He needs to help.
And yeah, he yeah.
I think bourbon should be enough. And lettuce.
Bourbon and lettuce.
Mitch McConnell doesn't care about you if you're poor in Kentucky. I'm sorry,
yeah.
sir. Tree in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tree.
Good morning from North Carolina.
Hello.
Have to tell you, you're a breath of fresh air.
Why, thank you. Well, you're just the right height tree, in my opinion, then.
I just had one of the Hillary and Romney comments, and I was absolutely amazed of all of the brilliant people in journalism that this one, I haven't heard it brought up yet, but my response to that immediately would have been about her five boys would have been, yes, and how many domestics and nannies did it take to help you?
Right.
I'm sure she handed those children off and they were brought back clean because I know a lot of people in the horse business. And if she has those kind of horses, I guarantee you that those horses got more one-on-one time than any of her children.
Oh, I don't know if we know that.
We don't know that for
sure. She had stable people to be with the horses.
She had stable
hands
for that.
You wouldn't want unstable people.
No.
Well, I didn't want to say stableman because that would be sexist.
I just thought, isn't this a little presumptuous? I don't know. It's Mitt Romney and Diane Sawyer.
In this moment, as it begins toward November, what would each of you say to President and Mrs. Obama?
Well, start packing. That's what I'd like to say. Obviously, we have a very different view. The president, I'm sure, wants another 4 years. But the first years didn't go so well.
Especially that Romney care. Obamacare.
That probably killed at the country club the night we start packing. Oh, Thurston. Oh, my God.
Heaven's a Harvard man.
I wrote that myself. Sons, comedy writers. Okay.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. A little presumptuous, just saying.
A little bit.
Just saying. All right. Ari Berman of The Nation, author of Herding Donkeys, coming up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Very famous, very talented, a great movie star.
Stephanie Miller.
That's me. Have you seen my film?
Yeah, your one film.
Yeah, just right. Mm-hmm. It debuted on a plane or something. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour.
I think it was on Showtime 2, maybe.
Something.
Uh-huh.
I think the working title was It'll Have to Do.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, you hear it said all the time, oh, it's all about the Supreme Court, the election. Well, let me just say, it's all about the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I believe Rob Reiner talked about that the other day in studio with us, but no one writes about it better than Ari Berman at The Nation, who wrote the story, Why the Supreme Court Matters.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning, Ari. Hello. Oops, wait, I did the wrong line.
Oh.
That's my fault. Hi, Ari.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me this time?
There you go. I can hear you now. Ari, great piece as usual.
Thank you.
Because, you know, that's the thing is I don't think people really get into the nuts and bolts of it like you did in this piece. And it goes to the point that we keep talking about how far right not just this Republican Party has gone, but the Supreme Court, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think people don't realize this is the most conservative Supreme Court since at least the 1930s. And if you look at the 10 most conservative members of the court from 1937 to 2006, five are on the court today. And Clarence Thomas is the most conservative. Antonin Scalia is the third most conservative. John Roberts is the fourth most conservative. Sam Alito is the fifth most conservative. And I think most disturbing is Anthony Kennedy is the 10th most conservative justice in the past, basically, century. And he's a swing vote on the court. So that just goes to show you how far to the right the court has really moved.
Well, that's how you start the piece. You say when Gerald Ford nominated him in 1975, he occupied the ideological center of the Supreme Court. By the time he retired in 2010, he was the court's most liberal member.
John Paul Stevens,
Right. And you say over those 35 years, the court changed far more than Stevens did. What was once the extreme right is now merely conservative. What was once conservative is now centrist. What was centrist is now left wing. What was once on the left no longer exists.
Well, exactly. And Stevens was basically a moderate Republican, and moderate Republicans don't really exist anymore. Anthony Kennedy was basically a conservative Republican, and now conservative Republicans are the swing on the court because the other four justices are really extremely conservative Republicans. And so that's what passes for conservatism these days,
right.
And that's why the court is taking these really drastic steps. For example, the Citizens United decision, which was a far more political activist decision than you would have seen from past courts, particularly past conservative courts that were supposed to be respectful of presidents. And so we don't really know what's going to happen now. Every time a major law comes before the court, especially if it's a progressive piece of legislation, there's a good chance it's going to get struck down. And my article is really about beyond healthcare, all these other consequential cases that are coming before the court in the next year or two.
Nate, do you feel that healthcare is going to get struck down?
I think there's a very good chance it could get struck down. I also think that the Supreme Court could duck a little bit and invalidate the mandate, which then basically invalidates the entire law. So they might not have to strike down, because if they just strike down the mandate, the rest of the law could collapse, and that will leave the Obama administration scrambling.
You use the best word I've heard to describe Citizens United, ghastly. The
yes.
ghastly 2010 Citizens United decision. But, I mean, you know what's interesting? If you look at the polling on that, Nate, I mean, the odd thing is the court is so much farther right than the American public. I mean, what are the numbers on that? 70% at least, I believe, of Americans are against the Citizens United decision, right?
Well, when it first happened, 80% were against
yeah.
it, and now about 60% are against it. The interesting thing is only about half of Americans actually know what the decision is, but those that do know about it don't like it, and those that know a lot about the decision, they really don't like it, and that's bipartisan in nature. So this decision, even more than Bush v. Gore, I think has crystallized what's wrong with the court. What happened in Bush v. Gore is Republicans started liking the court more, Democrats started disliking it more, but the numbers overall didn't change. But Citizens United really has dragged down the Supreme Court's approval ratings. It's fallen 15 points in the past 2 years. The idea that the court is some independent body now has really taken a tumble. Americans view it, like the other two branches of Congress of the government, as very political.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When you have Scalia doing Frank Luntz talking points, I mean,
from the bench.
That's what I mean. This is why the Olympia Snows, are like, I don't recognize this party anymore. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's why people are so concerned about the court who study these issues, and I think it's why, no matter what happens with healthcare, the court should be talked about more. Not only the Supreme Court, but the judiciary in general. March 27th marked the 1,000th day with a record high 80 vacancies on the federal bench. And so the judiciary is not functioning as it's supposed to, and the Obama administration has been slow on this issue, and they've also faced an incredible amount of resistance from Senate Republicans. Obama's judicial nominees to the federal bench, they've waited five times as long as Bush's to be confirmed.
Yeah.
And Obama's gotten 45 fewer justices than Clinton and 36 fewer than Bush.
Well, and they've admitted that a lot of these are non-controversial nominees. They're just blocking them to block them.
Of blocking them. Even judges supported by home state Republican senators, let's say you nominate a judge from Illinois and Mark Kirk supports it, they're getting filibustered simply because Mitch McConnell has decided that almost no Obama justices are going to get through unless they wait a very long time or the administration expends a tremendous amount of political capital pushing for them, which they really have not been willing to do. And the two picks on the court, Sotomayor and Kagan, while very good justices were completely non-controversial. So if Obama was ever to nominate someone to the Supreme Court or the federal judiciary with a more aggressively liberal persuasion, that person would almost certainly be blocked, whereas Republicans during the Bush era were very effective in getting very conservative young justices through.
Yeah. Nate, you know, I was going to say, you know, first of all, we've heard this over and over from Republicans about activist judges. Wouldn't overturning, say, health care be really activist?
It would be really activist. And not only that, I think just go through the list of cases in the next year. I mean, the court's going to hear Arizona's immigration law later this month. They're going to hear affirmative action at the University of Texas in October. They're most likely going to hear a challenge to gay marriage. They're going to hear a challenge to the Voting Rights Act. They're going to hear part two of Citizens United originating in Montana. They could even hear Roe v. Wade, given all the new anti-abortion restrictions that have been passed. So this court can really remake American society, and not in a good way. And that's one of the major outcomes, I think, of the 2012 election, is the next president could shore up either the right or left flank of the court, but if two justices retire, they could possibly shift the balance of power for a very long time.
Excuse me, Ari, I'm looking where you're quoting Nate Silver in your article. I'm sorry. Ari, that's the thing that people always go, oh, they're never going to overturn Roe v. Wade. I mean, you make a very good case that don't be so sure with all of these draconian anti-abortion measures in state by state. You know, we could absolutely be back to back alley women dying in back alley abortions, couldn't we?
Don't be so sure, because look, Citizens United was a very small, narrow case. No one believed it was going to lead to this wide-scale overhaul of our campaign finance laws and the ability to make unlimited contributions that we're seeing now. No one thought that was going to happen, including the plaintiffs themselves in that case. And so I do think every time a case comes up now, we have to expect the worst. And there's a statistic that I got from the New York Times that found that when there are 5-4 divided decisions, conservatives are in the majority 71% of times, which basically means that when there's a controversial case, conservatives usually win. And so what that means for minorities, for immigrants, for women, for gays and lesbians.
Well, let's talk about Prop 8.
We don't know, but I mean, it's certainly a scary proposition.
Well, let's talk about Prop 8, even Defense of Marriage Act, as you say. I mean, we had Rob Reiner in the other day. We made some news that he absolutely thinks gay marriage equality is going to be upheld at the Supreme Court. But I'm nervous. Are you?
I think of all the cases that I wrote about in the article, Prop 8 has the best chance, because the Ninth Circuit Court wrote the decision based on what Anthony Kennedy had already said. Mm-hmm. And so they were very savvy in terms of doing that decision specifically to appeal, knowing that Kennedy will be the swing vote. And Kennedy in past cases has talked about equality for gay and lesbian Americans. So I think that is one case where the Supreme Court could issue a more progressive decision. But I think if you look at a whole host of issues, it's not a progressive court when it comes to social issues, and it's a very, very, very conservative court when it comes to economic issues and protecting corporate power. And so other than Prop 8, I think in all the cases that are coming before the court, the outcome doesn't look very good right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just, I think the way you put it in historical perspective is so important. I've talked about this, Ari, you know, because my dad ran with Goldwater, and my dad was chairman of the RNC at the time, and, you know, he had to, you know, sort of, all the forces then, like Rockefeller was the moderate and Goldwater was the right wing. I mean, look at today. Goldwater would be way too liberal for this. I mean, everything has moved so far right.
By the end of his life, Goldwater was too liberal, essentially, for the Republican Party.
Right. Well, he spoke out for, you know, pro-gay rights in the 80s on the Senate floor. So that's what I mean. It just, I think, historically provable how far to the right, you know, not just, as you say, the, you know, Republican Party, but the court has gone.
Well, I think there's also the larger point where there is obviously some progressive discontent for Obama, and I hear a lot of people say, well, there's not that much difference between Obama and Romney. Well, you look at the people Romney would appoint to the court, and you look at the people that Obama would appoint to the court, they're not the same people. Elena Kagan is not the same person as John Roberts, and so I think the Supreme Court probably is the best example of the difference in political parties and the difference in presidencies today. The Supreme Court would have been radically different if Al Gore, all his flaws, had been elected in 2000. 2000 as opposed to George W. Bush.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have a TV show.
It's true. Where would the liberal outrage have gone?
Right.
We'd all be out of business.
But that's the important thing, is you quote somebody, there is no overlap between the people Obama would appoint and the people Romney would appoint. And it couldn't be more critical this year, right?
Well, I'm willing to suck up my own outrage for the future of the country, as I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, next time I have Nate Silver on, I'm going to call him Ari. Ari, a great piece as always. It is at The Nation, Why the Supreme Court Matters, and also his book, Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. Ari, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot for having me.
I appreciate it.
Can we stop with the crappy euphemisms like Citizens United and call it for what it is? Corporations über alles?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
we just renamed it. There you go. All right.
Citizens Mike Heine.
Okay. There.
Well,
let's
then.
Just call it
there
that.
Yeah.
Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
And you didn't think that I would hear it. People hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. I know, this is bananas, right?
Yes. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Better put my pom-pom down, getting everybody fired up. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com, our Tuesday pal, coming up in just a little bit. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. It's Mike in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, congratulations, number 11.
Thank you.
Number one in our hearts.
Aww.
It's number one twice.
Yes. I'm number one twice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, but the other day, Dick Cheney gave a speech in Wyoming, and he said the Obama administration had been a disaster.
Oh, no, an unmitigated disaster for this country.
Yeah, it strikes me. That's a little bit like Captain Smith of the Titanic blaming the master of the Carpathia for being too slow steaming to
yes.
despite the disaster he caused.
You're the smartest boy in class today. That's a very good analogy. Exactly. Thank you. Oh, he's hanging up on himself. Okay.
Uh-huh. He'll take your question. He'll take your answer off the air.
Apparently he will. Okay. Yeah, Dick Cheney said, I'm not running any foot races yet, but it won't be long.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Awesome. He did not take the opportunity to weigh in on health care politics.
Yeah.
Perhaps because he has that fancy government healthcare socialist stuff.
Sure.
Hmm. Okay. all right. Mittens yesterday on...
I'm by far the best qualified in this race between myself and President Obama to help the American people get good jobs and rising incomes and eliminate the massive deficit that America's facing.
By American people, I mean Chinese.
Mm. And here's Lovey Howell.
And, you know, and I will say, for me... financial security has not been a huge issue. But that does not mean I'm not compassionate.
Hasn't been a huge issue? It hasn't been an issue at all, Ann.
Yeah, like this, for instance. Ann Romney laughed while explaining that Seamus loved traveling on top of the family's car. Oh, he loved it. He thought it was marvelous. Really. That's how I know I'm enjoying something, because I myself. Wow. The dog loved it, she told ABC's Diane Sawyer.
How would she know? Did she pay someone to look into the cage?
Mm, he would see that crate, you know, he'd go crazy because he knew he was going.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe crazy because he was like, I got to get out of here.
Oh, God.
I love this part. For his part, Mitt Romney said he would never again put the dog on top of the car. Would you do it again, asked Sawyer? Certainly not with the attention it's received.
Oh.
For Pete's sake, I'm running for president. I mean, of course I don't care about the dog, but for Pete's sake.
I have to look like I do. I'm running for president for Pete's
Not
sake.
With the attention it's received. How about it's the wrong thing to do?
Yeah.
To put a dog on top of a car for 12 hours until it poops itself in fear. Really?
How about you put Tag up there? See if he poops himself. See if he likes it.
Oh, Tag loves it.
Dad, get me out of here!
Yeah, several years after the diarrhea incident, according to Politico, the Romney family, I love this, concerned about Seamus' predisposition toward wandering about town, maybe looking for another family.
Yeah.
and concerned he might be hit by a car, gave the dog away to Mitt Romney's sister Jane in California. That's not the story I heard. I heard the dog ran away.
Yeah.
But, okay. I don't know. He had this weird predisposition to try to get away from us. I can't imagine why. Wow. Okay. Let's go to Jamie in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, my name's Tammy.
Oh, pardon, Jammy something. Go ahead.
I just wanted to express my opinion about how Romney wants to do away possibly with the HUD.
Yes, yes. Because that's housing for poor people. That doesn't matter.
Oh, no, because that directly affects me. Mm-hmm. I am now living in HUD housing. I guess I'm somehow fell between the cracks. I'm disabled, and I can't get help from the human services here unless I work, which I'm not able to work. So I'm living on $84 a month, raising a 15-and-a-half-year-old boy. So, I mean, this
Mitt Romney wants you to have the dignity of work, whether unless you're married to him.
Yeah. And like right now, I'm getting ready to go over to help my daughter, who just gave birth to twins last Thursday, and she can't afford the au pairs.
Oh, my God.
So I have to go over and help her, you know.
Yeah. If you can't afford au pairs, then you're not trying. All right. Stella in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Stella, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to relate my own personal experience with the Secret Service use of prostitutes when they are preparing a location for the president to speak.
Yes.
I worked, I'm a retired union employee for the state of Illinois and was assigned to a special project in Springfield, Illinois. And, of course, they put us up at a hotel. And one night as I'm trying to go to sleep, Secret Service, I found out they were Secret Service men, were parading up and down the hallway talking on walkie-talkies. And later on I found out that they had placed the prostitute in the room next to mine, and every half hour or so a new guy came in.
Oh, dear.
And I could hear just about everything, and the actual headboard of that bed was against the headboard of
bed. Oh, dear.
And so I just wanted to let you know that this activity in the Secret Service is nothing new. It has nothing to do with Mr. Obama, and I just want to defuse the ability to turn it into an outrage against Obama.
Yeah, well, they don't need an excuse to get outraged against Obama. The president talking about the Secret Service.
What happened here in Colombia is being investigated by the director of the Secret Service. I expect that investigation to be thorough, and I expect it to be rigorous.
Yeah, what about an investigation of the Secret Service guys who stood around watching Kennedy get killed?
Oh, my God. I knew he somehow was going to get a Kennedy conspiracy thing in here.
Stopped the car to look back and make sure he was dead before they moved
on. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Abraham Bolden.
Good morning, Mama.
Look him up.
I just have to correct something that Jim said last hour, that au pairs are hotter than nannies.
Yes.
Well, I believe our friend, Fran Drescher, is a nanny, and I believe that she's smoking hot.
Yes, all right. Thank you for that, settling that dispute, Dave. Appreciate that.
As long as she doesn't.
She's not an actual.
And you know what? Mary Poppins, I'd tap that.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just a spoonful of sugar.
Don in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Oh, hi, dear. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, in North Carolina, we're going to vote on May the 8th for deciding whether gay people can get married.
Yep.
And, I didn't know the state was doing so well that's all they had to worry about.
Ah, yeah, I know. You think we do have more important things to worry about than taking rights away from people, right?
Yeah, they should get married. Let them suffer like everybody else.
There you go, Don. There you go. Hello, straight folks. Welcome to our nightmare. Come on. It's room for everybody. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, I like that. And I It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland is alive.
Yay!
He is alive. See, your thoughts and prayers worked last hour. I told the story. Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland Scahill. Oh, he was on his balcony a couple weeks ago. Something fell from his neighbor, hit him in the head. He got stitches. Anyway, he had to go into the ER yesterday to have a hole drilled in his head.
Ugh, wow.
And he literally needed that, like a hole in the head.
Right.
To relieve pressure, but he is home, and he's written to me. There he is. Look. My energy is that of a dying mosquito. I've dragged myself out of bed to a few emails.
Aww.
It warmed my heart, confirmed our soulmate status when you called yesterday before you knew. I knew something was wrong.
Aww.
We're on the phone all the time. I will later take a picture of the shaved side of my head. I look like I'm having a midlife crisis and trying out new hairstyles. That's not pretty. Thank goodness we have a month before Aisha sees me, because that's really all it boils down to, doesn't it? What Aisha Tyler thinks of us when we see her. It's true. That's the next Sexy Liberal, ladies and gentlemen. Buy a ticket for Roland, for God's sake.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her Sexy Liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah, exactly. Do it. Do it for Roland. Roland just wrote back, I love you too so much. Because I left his mom two voicemails on her cell phone.
Yeah.
She said I had to show my mom how to retrieve her iPhone voicemail. She had 73 voicemails.
Oh, God.
Since I got her the phone 3 months ago. All right. Because I was wondering why she didn't call me back. You're kidding. My mom doesn't even have a cell phone, which is...
Your mom has an answering machine at home.
Oh, that she doesn't know how to record a message for. Nobody's available right now. Leave a message.
Please leave a message.
I'm surprised her
one is here to answer
your call. Outgoing message isn't... Oh, dear.
That's why she... No, it used to be that, and that's why she left it. It was bobbling, actually. You heard, like... Bill, I don't... I'm not here. Leave a message.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Yes, and she just went back to that.
These humans are incompetent. I am in control.
All right. Oh, can I have some complaint letter music, please?
Sure.
Chris in Yankton. Dear sirs, I wish to complain in the strongest possible terms about the number of complaint letters your show is airing. I, for one, am not the least bit offended by the term douche, nor am I offended by the terms or even any concern trolls who are very concerned about the douche-tastic bent your show has taken should in the future either lighten up or keep their concerns to themselves. Yours, Chris.
Aw. By the way, I'm getting a lot of people agreeing with me on Twitter about the tappability of Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well,
what?
You know what? Our show settles all the
was.
Really important issues. Au pairs or nannies? Which are hotter?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was half a century ago.
All right. Nick in Chicago. Oh, looky, it's a love letter. Staff, first of all, love your show. I'm a recovering Republican, and it's largely due to shows like yours. I find myself going through Stephanie Miller's show withdrawal over the weekends. Isn't that weird?
Computer says no.
No. Embrace your Steph infection, Nick. It's all right. It's all right.
There's no cure for Steph infection.
And now, a story about a dog. because we've been talking about Seamus again because of Ann Romney's single.
Oh, he loved it
out there. He thought it was marvelous. I bet you Dershaw's horse never had a ride on the roof.
No. Those are too expensive.
That'd be a bigger mess to clean up, too.
Yeah, that's yikes. That's... there's a lot of talk about the Titanic with the anniversary and all that stuff. I did not know. Because you know me, I'm my mom's dogs, mm-hmm. Max and Fred, the most handsome, romantic man in the world.
Yeah.
Yes. When the Titanic sank, there were dogs on board.
Yeah.
There were 10 dogs aboard of the Titanic. Only 3 survived.
Aww.
Two small dogs were saved with their owners in the lifeboats. The third became a famous hero, a Newfoundland. And I used to have a Newfoundland named Pooh Bear.
And it sank off the coast of Newfoundland.
Although my Newfoundland would not have ever gotten her fat ass off the couch to save me to jump in any water at all. However, they normally are used for water rescue. But yeah, there was a large Newfoundland owned by the ship's first officer. His name was Riegel. Riegel's a handsome, romantic man, too.
Was it a big white?
No. Black. Newfoundlands are either black. Mine was black and white.
Okay.
He was a big black Newfoundland dog. But for Riegel, the fourth boat that was picked up might have been run over by the Carpathia. Yeah, he was swimming for 3 hours. He swam in the icy water where the Titanic went down, evidently looking for his master. Aww. He was instrumental in guiding the boatload of survivors to the Carpathia.
Wow!
Because he barked, they said. But if it weren't for the sharp barking, they would have probably run over that the fourth tugboat.
Nice.
Riegel's a good boy. I don't know. I'll just use any excuse to tell a dog story.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. Okay, so we were talking about the hot mic incident with the Romneys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were actually giddy over the Hillary Rosen flap, and Romney said it was my early birthday present for someone to be critical of me. That was really a defining moment. I loved it. Hmm. That seems fairly like a political calculation.
Yeah,
that she wasn't actually offended in any way.
Right.
They were hoping for something like this to happen.
Uh-huh. I love this. Mediaite says, in case the phoniness of the Romney campaign's response to Rosengate wasn't obvious enough, and Romney's give political calculation should make it clear. Soledad O'Brien apparently even said, that would seem more like I was able to score political points on an issue that could help my husband win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems a lot like that.
In the latest polls, Obama and Romney are tied.
Yeah, I know. Oh, by the way, where's the outrage machine on this? Ted Nugent. Obama is vile and evil, and voters should chop Democrats' heads off in November. He was speaking at the NRA.
Uh-huh.
He took the opportunity to say Obama is vile, evil. Members of the Supreme Court don't believe in the Constitution, and voters should ride into that battlefield and chop Democrats' heads off in November. He described Obama as leading a vile, evil, America-hating administration, which is wiping its ass with the Constitution. He also warned that he would either be dead or in jail by this time next year should President Obama win re-election.
Hmm.
Which seems vaguely threatening.
Why doesn't he, take Laura Ingraham's advice and just shut up and sing?
Yes, perhaps.
Please?
Exactly.
Please.
Let's go to Kelly in Michigan.
No, that's just for liberals.
No,
okay, yeah.
Hi, Kel.
Brand new Steph-infected listener. Here you
Thank
guys
you.
Rock.
Thank you. No cure. Okay.
Regarding the compassion of Ann Romney and the GOP,
yes.
My husband and I have always thought that it's a prerequisite for the presidency that they should make all presidential candidates for a six-month period of time give up their bank accounts, their credit cards, their Jaguars, their car elevators, and move into some tiny dumpy apartment and work a minimum wage job, perhaps serving curly fries.
Yes.
And
well, we suggested that for Ann Romney yesterday.
Live on it.
Yeah. Well, because she apparently needs the dignity of work, according to her husband. So Mitt Romney yesterday, he was on with Diane Sori. We played the soundbite earlier that he said Obama should start packing. And then I love this. Ann Romney said, I believe it's Mitt's time. It's our turn now.
Oh, I see.
Let's just cancel the election. It's their turn. Because that's how democracy works. What?
Huh. You're just more important than you are.
Hmm. She tried to spin her, that the Hillary Rosen thing was a birthday gift. She said, that wasn't how I meant it. It was a birthday gift to me because I love the fact that we're talking about this.
Right.
No.
Yes, because
nice
it's obviously political.
Yeah.
Romney dismissed a question about whether he could relate to working people, saying Americans don't judge people based on class.
Yeah, we do. Especially if they're douchey like you.
Yeah. Especially if they're kind of rich, douchey people like you. Yeah. By the way, we were just talking to Ari Berman last hour, or as I call him, Nate Silver. And
easy mistake to make.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we were talking about how important the Supreme Court is. Romney told Diane Sawyer he wants the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. So, as Ari said, don't think it can't happen.
Right.
Don't think this is not really critical. All right, let's go to Tom in Philly. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I just brand new Steph infection.
Thank
I'm just
you.
Going in for open heart surgery on Thursday.
Aww.
And
good luck.
I hope I don't get a Steph infection. But
yeah.
The bottom line is I just discovered you about a week and a half ago, and you are hilarious.
Aww.
One of the few political shows I can watch where I don't have to wet mop the freaking carpet in front of me because I'm so pissed off at everything I hear.
Aw, well, Tom,
but,
good luck.
I'm gonna depend on you guys to keep up the good work. The guy doing the impressions is hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, be careful. And, don't, Jim, dial it down next week because we want to pop stitches and stuff. All right.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Oh, God. All right, Tom. Good luck, honey.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, baby. That's cute. Mark in Virginia.
The Stephanie Miller Show, popping stitches all over America.
Popping heart surgery stitches left and right.
Oh.
Mark in Virginia. Hey, Mark, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Steph. How you doing?
Good morning. Go ahead.
You know, first of all, I just wanted to make a comment about Wolf Blitzer and the way he treated Hillary Clinton. I mean, that was really uncalled for. It was almost as if he was trying to score some points with his audience, you know, at her expense. That was really uncalled for.
Oh, I mean, that was one of the best examples of the war on women. I'm like, what are you treating her like? She's some, you know, 8-year-old child that, you know, needs to apologize to you? I mean, it was...
Look how not liberal we're being.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that bothered me, and I know it was a politically correct thing to do, but when President Obama came on TV and literally had to throw her under the bus, now I know it's a politically correct thing to do to distance yourself from those comments, but instead of him saying, you know, look, I know what she meant, you know, she wasn't trying to slight working mothers, I mean, he literally just threw her under the bus, you know, and distanced himself from a woman that's, you know, I mean, here she is, a Democratic strategist, and has done a lot for the Democratic Party, but, you know.
Yeah, but she, but
that,
you know, you got
Under the bus.
Right, but you got to say, I mean, she does not speak for the White House. She does not even speak for the Democratic Party. She works for CNN. So
exactly, but he didn't say that. You know, it was basically we're under the bus and distance himself. And the comment
But wait a minute, you know, Mark. Obviously, even Hillary Rosen said she made a poor choice of words. I think the second,
but taking out of context.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the second half of what she said, I mean, and that's the other thing is, you know, I mean, how hilarious is it this news comes out of what Romney just said in January, that poor women need to work,
right?
Even if you have a 2-year-old. It's like, it just shows the blatant hypocrisy of this whole, you know, fake outrage machine. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Kids, you know, Carbonite, if you don't have it, you don't live in the computer age then.
Apparently.
Because you know you can, it's not if, it's when. You're going to have a power outage, a virus, your laptop's going to get stolen.
I know someone to whom that happened. It was taken right out of his car and he lost all kinds of stuff for a book he was reading.
Yep. David Bender, my friend, thought he lost his laptop, panicked, called me in a panic. He turns out he just had that feeling of panic for a minute when you think, oh my God, everything in there is gone.
Mm-hmm.
My book proposals, my financial documents, my music, my sound bites, my whatever
every
it is.
Every single sound bite we have for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, hello.
See, that'd be awful if someone lost a laptop.
But it's backed up on Carbonite, so I don't have to worry.
Exactly.
And every single one has a green dot next to it.
There you go. Peace of mind. That's what Carbonite buys you. And you can try it absolutely free. You don't even need a credit card. Check this out. You set up Carbonite once. It just it works automatically and continually whenever you are connected to the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
It backs up all your files safely and securely off-site. So no matter what happens, you can get back all of those files. You don't have to worry about it. Carbonite has a better backup plan for you. Prices start at just $59 for the entire year. Wah, what?
Mm.
That's what I said.
Wah, wah.
$15 for the entire year.
We need to get you to work on that.
Get started with today with my very special offer. Go to Carbonite.com, type in the offer code Stephanie for a free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. The offer code is Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A correction, by the by. I had not seen this till yesterday. George Zimmerman, not a member of a recognized organized neighborhood watch organization.
But why is everybody calling him a neighborhood watch?
A statement released by the National Sheriff's Association, the parent organization of USA on Watch Neighborhood Watch, it has been revealed Zimmerman was not a member of any group recognized by the organization. Zimmerman violated the central tenets of Neighborhood Watch by following Martin, confronting him, and carrying a concealed weapon.
Wow.
Interesting that. Let's go to Doug in Staten Island. Hi, Doug. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good
guys
morning.
Are a breath of fresh air. Just
Thank
found you out.
Thank
just
you.
just recently there, and I caught the tail end of the Ari Berman talk you had there.
Yes.
He's always a great read. I've been a Nation supporter for years. You know, the Republicans have been doing this for years. They're very cute. I used to talk about this on Air America at the Federalist Society.
Mm-hmm.
They put together a group. They're very open about it. And besides their right-wing, reactionary, xenophobic, homophobic, antebellum, misogynistic, anti-education.
Supercalifragilistic.
Yeah. On and on. What they do is they've been real cute behind the Democrats' eyes, basically. They've been promoting guys who are younger. And if you look at the amount of judges that have been approved by the Senate, you'll find that on average the Republicans average 11 years younger than the Democratic
That's
nominees.
What it, right, that's what he was pointing out, that they've been very good at getting very young, very right-wing judges in there. By the way, Jim, I can't believe I said supercalifragilistic and I didn't reactivate your Mary Poppins.
yeah, Jim.
Expialidocious.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of the Trayvon Martin case, did you see this? Asshat. Miami-Dade fire captain blames Trayvon Martin killing on bag parents of urban youths.
Wow.
This is it. We're going to talk to Charlie Pierce about this. He writes about this. How anyone can think anything on Facebook or Twitter is private and you can just say whatever you want. I mean, it really, Brian Beckman, captain of the Miami-Dade Fire Department, posted a rant on his Facebook page suggesting Trayvon Martin shooter George Zimmerman was unjustly accused and that Martin's killing can be blamed upon poor parenting by urban parents, code word, who are welfare dependent. For the record, Trayvon Martin's mother is a program coordinator at the Miami-Dade Housing Authority. His father is a truck driver, so...
Neither one of them take welfare.
Yes. Oh, looky, here's another Mitt Romney edition of...
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
Speaking of parents, his book said non-working parents produce indolent and unproductive children.
Ha!
Oh, no.
Hmm.
Bad news for the tags of the world.
Yeah.
A passage from his autobiography sheds more light on what seems to be a bifurcated prescription for mothers, one for rich, one for poor.
Yeah. Hmm.
For poor women who receive government assistance, staying home not an option. They should work, obviously, what his comments in January that everybody played yesterday. A passage from his book says, in it he argues the children of non-working parents will be conditioned to have an indolent and unproductive life.
Hmm.
Unless, of course, they happen to all have $100 million trust funds apiece.
Right. And they all have au pairs.
And au pairs, a pair of au pairs, as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Rose in Philadelphia. Hey, Rose, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm a one-week newbie of your show, and I love it.
Aw, thank you.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Affordable Care Act and if they were to strike it down.
Mm-hmm.
People fail to realize that it's not just adults, it's children that'll be on here with
pre-existing
diseases. With serious diseases, with medication they will need. And if they strike this down, you know the companies are going to kick those kids off.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're going to die.
Yeah, I mean, Rose, that's the thing. How does anyone with a heart address that? You know, they like to go, oh, well, we don't want to take care of people that don't make the right choices and have diabetes or, you know, I mean, they can say any number of heartless things, but what about kids exactly with pre-existing conditions?
Right, and that's the thing I don't understand. They're supposed to be the ones that care so much about kids that they stand out in front of abortion clinics and antagonize people. But I don't see them standing up to these insurance companies about kids.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, they love to go, we don't want to take care of people. You know, you smoke or you don't take care of yourself. I don't want to pay for you. The fact is they don't want to pay for anybody.
Right.
They don't
mm-hmm.
want to take, you know, care of a kid that has something that's no fault of his own.
Everyone
should
have Dick Cheney's health plan.
Yes, there you go. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce of Esquire, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, very smart.
That's well reasoned.
A true brunette.
34 minutes after the hour. Oh, somebody's talking from my, twat shot in Madison on Saturday night. Somebody was putting that on the interwebs.
A true brunette.
Mm-hmm. I made it look exactly like Paul Ryan's Eddie Munster hairdo. Okay. 1-800-STEP-1 to the... with my no-no hair removal system. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number.
You can shape it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Really? You gave
amazing,
it a widow's peak?
Yo, amazing precision. It's Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
By the way, I caught myself when I put a voucher on it. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Charlie Pierce, good morning, sir.
Ooh, ick.
Yeah, I know, right?
Follow that.
I wouldn't be the first.
Charlie Pierce, great stuff. I love the heartwarming, shameless tale of the Romney family you write about on Esquire.com this week. You say apparently we're going to have to deal with all the Romneys, not just Papa Willard, for the next 6 months. Just some average folks with an average stay-at-home mom and kids who know the value of every damn penny of the 100 million Papa left each of them without having to pay any gift tax. I mean, it really...
That was an amazing tidbit today. The tidbit came out this week about the tax returns. That he gave all his kids $100 million without paying any gift tax. Because why? Because as Jack McCoy once said, the laws for the rich are different.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Well, we were talking, obviously, about this hot mic moment, but, I mean, it's not a shock.
Good job, by the way, by the two reporters for hanging around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, we don't know. That they're both just political animals. They were giddy about... They were not offended at all about what Hillary Rosen said.
Yeah. Can I just make the point that Hillary Rosen is no Field of Buttercups herself? This is the woman who was chasing down 12-year-old kids because they were sharing music files.
Well, yeah, she was...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she was lobbyist for the RIAA.
Yeah.
I mean, she's CNN's idea of a Democrat, not mine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, as you
CNN,
say,
by the way, which employs not only Dana Loesch and Eric Erickson, but Alex Castellanos and Ari Fleischer.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about it, Charlie. But to me, one of the most disgusting moments of the quote-unquote mainstream or liberal media is, you know, Wolf Blitzer lecturing Hillary Rosen like a, you know, a wayward child, right?
Yeah, I saw that because you were outraged at that during your brief period as a young Turk.
Yes.
Yes. I'm the elderly Turk. But
you're the den mother Turk.
Yes. Yeah.
Elderly
yes.
Polish Turk.
I'm the adult supervision. But, you know, as you've said, what you write about this week, the real work of humanizing the Romney bot will come from our elite political media. That work is already underway.
Sure. The only reason the quote-unquote Hillary Rosen thing was a scandal is because people, you know, the echo chamber started and everybody joined in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you say it appears Ann Romney will be everywhere, the public face of the campaign, the martyred mom of all martyred moms, except with car elevators. I mean, that's the whole point of Hillary Rosen was making. It was economic, which is absolutely true.
Well, yeah, I wish CNN found better Democrats.
Yeah. Well, and also,
Paul Begala does a good job, I think. Paul Begala?
Yeah.
Oh, he does it, but he was Tucker Carlson's dancing buddy for a few years, so he still have to go to confession for that. But in any event, it shouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah.
Because
it was
a throwaway comment by a commentator for hire.
Right.
I mean, Mitt Romney actually spoke at the same convention Ted Nugent was speaking to.
Oh, exactly.
Should he be allowed to distance, be asked to distance himself from that stuff?
That's my point. I talked about Ted Nugent's comments earlier. Where's the outrage about that? Where's the mainstream media coverage of Mitt Romney saying in January? What's that?
Where's the distancing?
Yeah, and where's the coverage of what Mitt Romney just said in January that, you know, poor mothers need the dignity of work?
Well, that's getting around a little bit, but, you know, the reason he can say that is because that's what we've based our, you know, politics on for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
That his wife can say there's dignity in being a stay-at-home mom, and Mitt can say there's dignity in making poor stay-at-home moms work like two jobs and take 8-hour bus rides.
Yeah, and by the way, I was so glad that you covered, as you say, the weekly cluster that is Meet the Press was unusually clustery with this week. And there was, because as you were saying, and I got a lot of email about this, that I'm sorry, David Gregory is not up the middle. He lets Michelle Bachmann go on and on, and there's Kirsten Gillibrand. She barely gets a word in, right?
Yeah, well, I don't understand, you know, why Michelle Bachmann is on TV.
Yes.
I have never understood that. The only reason she's on TV is because once she went on with Chris Matthews and said something really stupid.
Yep.
And she can be counted on to say, like, really stupid stuff. And that's why she's on TV, and that's why, basically, our national dialogue is screwed.
Well, and you write the exchange that sums it up. She says, the President of the United States effectively becomes a healthcare dictator. And he says, let me get in here, we're running out of time. Congressman Bachman, are you fully behind Mitt Romney for president? And you write, nice save, Dave. A crackpot woman who has a political career at all because she could be counted on to say crackpot things on television says a crackpot thing right in front of you, and the best you can come up with is whether or not she supports the Romneybot 2.0. I mean, that's exactly it.
I mean, the President of the United States is not going to become a healthcare dictator. He's not even going to become a healthcare suggester if this law goes through.
Yeah.
You know, he's not even going to become a healthcare advisor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all they're saying is you have to go, I mean, and this is what, frankly, ticks off liberals. They're saying you have to go, you know, buy products from the worst industry in you know, outside of the oil company in America.
Yep, yep.
Oh, I heard a low growl from Jim Ward.
That was Jim Ward.
Jim Ward now doing his Muttley imitation.
Now he becomes the Tim Allen character. So,
careful now, that heart surgery guy is going to be on. He's on heavy medication already.
He'll rip a few stitches out.
So how about the...
He'll be on Oxy, though. You guys will be a lot funnier.
Hey.
I love this. How about Mitt Romney's hot mic moment when he's basically telling rich donors his secret plan to cut housing assistance for the poor? I mean,
he's going to get rid of the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he said things like housing and urban development, which my dad was head of, that might not be around later.
Yeah, my dad may rise from the dead and show up at my house, you know, dripping with earth and, you know, smelling of old roots, but I'm going to get rid of his department anyway because I need to be president.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wow. So now they're, of course, attempting to walk the comments back. A Romney advisor said he was just tossing ideas out, just spitballing with the other rich folks.
Tossing really bad ideas out.
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, that's what he's accusing the president of, is always just he's saying these secret things and we don't know what he's going to do later. It's like, you know exactly what Mitt Romney's going to do.
How about him telling, like, an audience full of gazillionaires that they're outmatched and outgunned and outfundraised by labor unions?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was the most hilarious thing about it to me. There's nobody like that on our side. You know, I mean, at that point, I mean, as I said in the blog, at that point, Rick Santorum must be rolling around on the floor laughing.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Excuse me, who paid for all those ads that killed my campaign?
Yeah,
wow.
Charlie Pierce, were you at the Boston Common at the Tea Party event on this past, Sunday?
No, I wasn't. Tax Day? I wasn't actually, but I hear that very few people were.
Yeah, it was the Tea Party organized event was sponsored by the vehemently anti-gay Scott Lively, that guy.
Oh, he's the I Can Convert You guy, right?
Yes. He's for the gay cure and also a proponent of Uganda's Kill the Gays legislation.
Nice.
That guy. Yeah.
But the Tea Party is all about the deficit and fiscal responsibility. It's not about social issues.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, and count, by the way, count,
you know how we fix the deficit? Kill all the gays.
There
wow.
You go. Uh-huh.
There's an idea.
Yeah. One swell poop.
Yeah. counter-protesters expressed their opposition to Lively's participation. One of the speakers from the podium on the loudspeaker said, "We will not be silenced by F-word for gay men." So that was, we will not be silenced by this.
Great.
Nice. Nice doings in Boston there.
Yeah, so, well, we are the cradle of liberty, after all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie Pierce, great stuff as always.
Hey, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right,
you
talk
got
to you again
it.
Next week. There he goes, Charlie Pierce.
Yay.
Our buddy, our pal. Don in Little Rock, Arkansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I got a question. Every now and then on 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, I'll channel surf, right? And if I want to lose brain cells, I'll check out Hannity's show.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear!
I know. And they had a segment on the, the left's war on women. My whole question is, how were they able? I guess the right. How were they able to change the whole spin to and then change the narrative to where Obama is the culprit behind the war on women?
Because it's Sean Hannity, Don. Pay attention, for God's sake. It's Fox News, for God's sakes.
They have an uncanny ability to do that.
Yes.
I don't know how they do it, but they do.
Yes. Speaking of the war against women, you know the noted douche nozzle, Joe Walsh? Joe Walsh, the...
Representative douche nozzle of the great state of Illinois?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that guy. Did you see this, Jim? He's running against Democrat Tammy Duckworth, who lost three of her limbs, I believe.
Yes.
Left them on the battlefield in Iraq for her country. Oh, and he had previously said, what else has she done? Female, wounded, veteran? She's nothing more than a hand-picked Washington bureaucrat.
I'll tell you what else she's done. She's kept her financial house in order, unlike you, Mr. Walsh, who can't even pay his child support.
He'd be dead. He challenged her to a debate. Unfortunately, she was unable to attend because she serves in the National Army Guard and was on duty.
Huh.
But she challenged her, so she looked like a coward for not showing up because she was serving her country. Vote Vets chairman said Joe Walsh just cannot stop trying to use Dammy Duckworth's service against her. He needs to stop now. He should immediately apologize for this stunt. We should be thankful for the service of all our troops, not use their time in uniform as an opportunity to play a political stunt.
God.
Ugh, that guy's a jerk. Okay. Let's go to Tanya in Detroit. Hey, Tanya, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Tanya. Go ahead.
I have a problem with these polls I've been seeing lately. I seen a poll today where President Obama and Mitt Romney were, like, tied.
Tied, yep.
And I'm like, how is that possible when Obama has a 16-point lead with women over Mitt Romney? He has a huge lead with Hispanic voters. Obama is even leading among independent voters. And Mitt Romney has, like, a 34 to 37% approval rating. So I'm wondering, how is this even possible?
Well, you know, that's the thing, Tanya. And first of all, what we say, even when the polls are really good for Obama, it's so far away from the actual election. You know, it's right. they tend to be all over the place, and it's hard to say. You don't know how the questions were phrased. You don't know.
You're going to get a different answer from polling registered voters or people who are more likely to vote.
Right. But, I mean, the fact is, Jimmy, this has always been a pretty 50-50 country, and I think this is going to be, you know, probably a close election, unless Mitt Romney talks more. 45 minutes after the hour, then he's screwed. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this, the Twilight Zone?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. Look what we got.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after. All right. After the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. I thought I couldn't love Hillary anymore. Look at her partying in Colombia.
Yeah.
Slugging back beer from
Cervezas.
The bottle. Cerveza. Doing the rumba.
Unfortunately, the Secret Service is also partying in Colombia.
Well, I don't think Hillary was hiring hookers.
No.
Look at her. Getting her groove on.
Good for her.
I know. Where was she recently? She was dancing to Usher. I knew she was a girl after my own heart.
Let's drink, you, the one
you know what I'm saying?
Let's
drink
Hillary's a freak in the bed.
We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed.
Yeah, you know she is. Come on. Go on, Hill.
She's a lady in the street.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. She's secretary of getting down.
Secretary of bow chicka bow wow.
Wow, wow.
Secretary of the Wawa pedal.
The president on the hooker scandal.
We're here on behalf of our people. And that means that we conduct ourselves with the utmost dignity and probity. Obviously what's been reported doesn't match up with those standards. But again, I think I'll wait until the full investigation is completed before I pass final judgment.
By the way, a well-known, insurance defrauder, arsonist, steroid user Daryl Issa, allegedly. Somebody should investigate.
The idea that there was no risk to the president, it doesn't hold water. More importantly, 5 or 10 years from now, some of these Secret Service agents could well be at the president's side.
Okay. He's just going to make this another, indictment of the White House. Daryl Issa, again.
It's not the personal conduct. It's not a one-time event. It's a question of whether or not the Secret Service has a plan to make sure they don't have anyone who's compromised working for them in the future.
And the Joint Chiefs Chairman, General Martin Dempsey, yesterday. The Joint Chiefs.
We're embarrassed by what occurred in Colombia, though we're not sure exactly what it is. But what we do know is that we distracted, that several of our members distracted the issue from what was a very important regional engagement for our president. So we let the boss down.
Yeah, apparently there were not only Secret Service involved, but members of the military involved, too.
Oh.
So that's why the Pentagon's getting involved.
And they were, many of the agents married.
What?
Clutch the pearls. Oh, wait, this just in, some more breaking Hillary news. She was out with about a dozen female aides. It was ladies' night in Cartagena. I love that she's drinking from the bottle.
Yeah.
I just love that. Clinton quickly proved that she's just a regular gal when it comes to drinking.
Wow.
She eschewed a glass and sucked down her Pilsner Cerveza straight from the bottle.
That's what I do.
She do upside down Maggie's.
Keg stands. She was doing keg stands.
I want to party with Hillary.
Yeah.
I do.
Beer bongs.
Can't Rob Reiner hook that up?
She's over at Hoosong's right now.
Hoosong's Cantina. Her bra's on the chandelier.
Her shooting guns. Scrunchies in the chandelier.
Her scrunchies. Shooting guns. Bang, bang. All right. Let's go to Doug in Jersey. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello,
Doug. Steph, congrats on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I'm a big Jon Stewart fan. I watch him all the time.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed last week. He had a show on with Bill O'Reilly where he made Bill O'Reilly seem like a good sport, talking about something about $4 shrimp or something O'Reilly would never pay, and they were going back and forth like Abbott and Costello. And I'm just very disappointed that he would do this with a man who I hold directly responsible for, like, the murder of Dr. Tiller.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I agree with you on that one, I got to say.
Yep.
Yeah, it's yucking it up with O'Reilly always makes me a little, I understand. All right, more Hillary news. So, I'm just kidding. I just love that story.
Yeah.
I just love the scrunchies, probably the sign. When the scrunchies on the doorknob, don't come knocking. All right, I don't know.
Was that your signal?
Yeah, you know, when you take the scrunchie out, let your hair down, it's, you know.
And Chelsea's got her head in her hands going, oh, Mom.
Mom, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, you can't tell me that Chelsea didn't do a little of that when she was in college.
What, partying?
Yes.
I bet she did. Tom in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'd like to talk about Ted Nugent. He called President Obama vile. I'll tell you what's vile. Ted Nugent, to avoid the draft, and this was an interview in the Detroit Free Press about 15 years ago, to avoid the draft, he kept his Levi's on for 30 days to defecate and to urinate on himself.
Yep.
After 30 days, he shows up at the draft board. The draft board says, you're nuts. Get out of here. Go home. You know, Section 8.
Yeah, but he's man enough to shoot defenseless animals left and right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, looky, who's on the line? It's Art.
The caller who's on line 3. Why, in Chicago, it's Art by Taxi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, Stephanie. I love you.
Listen, I love you too, Art.
Listening, hold on, listening to you. Excuse me.
Okay.
Obama
okay?
said he's going to wait for all the facts to come out before he makes a judgment on hookers. But when it came to that
Florida
this
morning,
case, he jumped right in, that half white guy and half Mexican. He shot that black guy. He had no waiting for the facts. That's number one. Number two,
the president didn't speak about the case. He just spoke as a parent.
Yes, he did. He said, if I had a son, he would have been just like that.
He looked like he would look like Trayvon.
That's right. That's it. But he rushed to judgment.
What?
This what
that's,
he does.
That's not rushing to judgment.
No, it's just pointing out that,
hey,
that the
not
kid.
I'm fighting with you.
Were you saying
I'm
he's still alive?
What he said.
He's saying Trayvon's still alive.
No, Art, you're putting out a lie.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that on that Florida case. That's
so
why everything
how,
was
how did he rush to judgment?
Thing, they got that GSU. That was $10 a shrimp. Tell that fella from wherever he is. That was $10 a shrimp. I wonder if they were worried about that little girl that had sugar. It was in that lady that just had called you. I wonder if they were worried about that. The only problem with Mr. Obama or President Obama Mr. Romney is that Mr. Romney spends his money. Obama and his people spend my money.
That's a funny one,
Art.
Bye, Cracky.
Hey, Cracky hung up on me now. All right.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card is expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
That was a humdinger, Art. Next time, kind of clear the phlegm a little before you
please.
Call, and then you'll get to that.
Take some Mucinex.
I showed her.
Look at my mag, that liberal hooker on the radio.
That liberal gal. Okay. Wow.
So what he's saying is that Romney paid no taxes because he's not spending his money.
Yeah.
Clearly. All right. Good point.
He got writers, I think. Yep. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, our website, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Oh, it's big news in the radio business today. Today, the Heavy 100, top radio talk show hosts in the country come out. We're number 11.
Yeah.
Woo!
And
it's the day when all across the country radio hosts are talking smack about each other.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, number 12.
Yeah.
Neil Bortz, number 13.
Chris on your Facebook page says, screw number 11. You're number 69 with me.
Oh, thank you. Waka, waka, waka. How about this one? Steph and the Mooks from John. Love your current TV advertisers. Love the show. Even though I DVR it and watch it when I get home, I always take time to check out the advertisers. Look at all. Well, they're all where his advertisers went. Look at that.
Hello.
They're all with us. Hi. Welcome. Oh, it's Joe, actually, in Syracuse. Thank you, Joe. And thank you for and buy something from each and every one of them, won't you?
Tell them Stephanie Miller sent you.
Please.
Type Stephanie in the box.
Sure.
Huh?
Enter Stephanie.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Pardon me? Okie dokie. Wow, so speaking of the interwebs, we got us a fancy Facebook and Twitter page, both Stephanie Miller Show and Sexy Liberal. Check it out. Did you see this? That Craigslist. That is.
Oh,
woman uses Craigslist to find a guy who knocked her up at a Motorhead Megadeth concert.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Who hasn't done that?
Nothing makes you horny more than Lemmy.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a classy with a K story.
Motorhead
did you?
Wow. With an umlaut.
Gawker writing, hey, did you have sex in the bathroom of a Motorhead Megadeth concert in Chicago? Congrats, you're a father. A pregnant woman took Craigslist.
God.
To find the identity of her baby daddy after a brief encounter. If it's any consolation to the dad of the bee, the woman only has positive things to say about the experience.
Why? Oh, well.
Well, look, can I have some, give me my sexy music,
she was
sure.
Thinking of Lemmy the whole time.
Oh, wow. As you know, I don't really leave my house, so this is, let me just see here. I was grinding on you in the pit, then we went to the bathroom and got up. You had a nice, and I was so wasted, I let you.
Wow. Okay.
Am I able to say that on the TV?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh.
Make sure they see it on the cameras, though.
Something.
Yeah, you just showed it to the cameras.
Well, I think that means without a condom. I let you
get
in the stall. You were really good, and you had to gag me so I wouldn't make too much noise. But with comes consequences, in this case, a little bundle of joy you may or may not be interested in raising. Contact me if you want to be part of your
I'm guessing life. Not.
Okay. Somehow I'm guessing he's not the fathering type. I had not heard that phrase.
Okay. Well, then.
Okay.
You don't get out much seriously.
All right. Oh, Jimmy's. You could hit the music right again. Squeezy, this is for you. You need to find this woman. Man calls cops on woman who wanted too much sex.
Oh, yeah. I read about her.
A German man was forced to call the cops on his one-night stand after she refused to stop having sex with him. The two had... Boy, there are some freaks out there.
Yeah.
The two had made love multiple... I don't know if you call it making love. Multiple times during the night, but the woman wanted more. He initially said no, but eventually complied with the woman's wishes another few times so he could finally leave the apartment. She remained unsatisfied and demanded even more. The man could take no more and made his way to the balcony where he phoned the police to come save him. The sex monster then tried to talk the dispatched officers into similar activity, but was unsuccessful.
Wow.
Wowee.
I'll have what she's having.
She's insatiable.
What?
What is she having?
Dear
God. All right. Kathy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Kath.
Hey. I love your show.
Thank you.
This is the best way to start my day.
Thank you. Me too.
And you know what, girl? You got some big ovaries.
Nice, thank you.
Not
thank
little
you.
Cojones, big ovaries. And they're going to take this show a long way.
Oh, thank you very much.
I tape it every morning, make sure I get all of it. Give them hell, Steph.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. Thank
you.
Of
course, if you listen to the show, you know that your ovaries are dust.
Yeah, so very dusty.
Okay, thank you. Got that out of your system now? Mm-hmm. Not what my eggs sound like. Okay.
They're certainly not juicy.
How do you know? Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? All right. Noted feminist Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, God.
War on women here.
By the way, you ought to see all the blog posts on the left. Can we get rid of this phony outrage they're asking? Can we stop this? Say, it was fine to manufacture phony outrage during Sandra Fluck.
It was fine
to keep that going for 3 weeks. But this, there's no point here. This is ridiculous. Aren't we just outraged?
Talking about Hillary Rosenkamp?
We just get rid of the outrage.
Yeah, that was manufactured.
Not while you're on the air.
That was manufactured, all right. Yeah, sure. Why don't you manufacture some new sponsors?
Okay. Boo-hoo, snap.
Sandy Rios on Fox News.
The left has never really viewed women in the way that I think most women view themselves. And let me just even go back further than that. Remember that the deep roots of the left go back way back in our lifetime and before this to, I think of the old Soviet Union, where women were regarded as equals to men. Well, that was wonderful. They all wore uniforms like men. They had to put their children in daycare. They had to do the same amount of work as men in the workplace. And that was freedom. And that is really the root of all of this, this whole notion that there's no difference between the genders.
She said from her out-of-the-home workplace at Fox News.
Yeah.
Exactly. Please spare me. Stuart, must we again with this phony Fox psychologist, Keith Ablo?
Yeah, he keeps popping up.
And Stuart Varney.
Do some people get a kick out of beating up on the rich, class envy, class warfare? What's the psychology of it?
You know what, Stuart? Boy. They get relief out of it. They get what Freud called the pleasure principle. Freud said, look, people will do whatever it takes to not feel pain. So with real problems in the economy,
they shouldn't be watching Fox News.
Relieve some suffering if you get angry instead and you point to someone and you say, you're doing this to me. You're the reason I can't succeed. Now, this playbook goes all the way back to Germany prior to World War II.
What?
We know
this.
Demonize a group and you can get people to feel elevated and start to march even.
I see. So
wait a minute.
So the liberals are both communists and Nazis.
We're both Soviet communists. And
Nazi marchers.
Liberalism is the antithesis of totalitarianism. Look it up.
Oh, by the way, I found out something interesting about Dr. Keith Ablo yesterday.
Yes. He's not a real doctor?
He is a real doctor, but he just started up his own life coaching company.
Interesting.
I call bull. Okay, Gretchen Carlson and Brian Kilmeade.
So let's go back to Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner.
What about taking responsibility, whether it's your report card or not? I cannot, this guy wouldn't last a week on Celebrity Apprentice, let alone as Treasury Secretary. He doesn't take any responsibility for anything.
I don't think that
Tim Geithner, A, would even consider being a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice, up there with NeNe Leakes.
Mm.
Meanwhile, and Teresa Giudice,
she's huge.
She is huge.
Brian Kilmeade wouldn't make it on Are You Smarter Than a Homeschooler, I don't think. Jim, I apologize to the liberal homeschoolers who let us.
We're not talking about you.
Jim Pinkerton, Fox News.
Just for perspective, I Googled Trayvon, the one word Trayvon this morning. I got 28,000 hits on Google, which I suspect is more hits than every other murder this year combined. There have probably been about 4,000 so far this in calendar year 2012. So I guess if you had to look up media sensationalism in a dictionary, you'd find one murder getting, you know, 100,000 times more coverage than all the other murders. Mm-hmm. I guess that would count as media sensationalism.
Okay.
Wow. Thanks for that insightful analysis.
Thanks for all that.
What a waste of space that guy is. Okay. There's a bunch of hit stars everywhere, so I guess
that the media sensationalizes it.
They're stupid.
All right, David Asman.
Asman.
Sure.
You Close had dinner with him. Yeah. Thanksgiving dinner with him.
Christmas.
Christmas dinner.
Guess what? That poll that you mentioned right at the top of the thing, 47% of Americans feel they pay about the right amount of taxes. That's because 46% of Americans pay no taxes at all. Of course you feel good about the amount of taxes you're paying if you're not paying any taxes, right?
Okay.
Not paying any taxes?
I don't know.
Those people do pay taxes, Mr. Asman.
Mm-hmm.
They pay sales taxes.
They
pay
but I said it with the Republican accent, whereby I slur my consonants, which shows that I'm a serious commentator.
Yep. They also pay taxes on gas. They pay taxes on a whole host of things, just maybe not
some
income
tax. Aren't they the ones with the class warfare? Seriously.
Yeah.
All I know is Bain made Romney a rich man. Speaking of bad guitar, Penny in Oklahoma wants to talk about Ted Nugent. Hi, Penny.
Hey, girlfriend. You know, regarding this Ted Nugent thing, he really was about a third-rate guitar player at the very best, you know? And I think what we should do is just have a big memorial service for him.
He's well, you know what? He actually was a better guitar player than he is a pundit, so you have to give him that.
There is that.
I mean, all right.
Cat Scratch Fever was a catchy song.
Yeah.
17 minutes after the hour. Kids, how do we keep this whole operation afloat, this number 11 talk show host in the country thing happening? Go to meeting, that's how, because we're all of you. Listen, we have tentacles here at Stephanie Miller International. We have everybody's in a different city. We're in New York,
right.
We're in L.A., we're all over the country. We need go to meeting because you gotta have, you collaborate in the real time on the same documents, graphics, all the stuff that you need to keep your business running.
If you're in a hospital getting a hole drilled in your head.
Roland, sexy liberal tour director.
You can just grab your iPad.
No reason not to grab your iPad and get into the go to meeting. I accept no excuses here at Stephanie Miller.
No, you don't.
Oh, you're getting a hole drilled in your head. Okay. Go to meeting with HD Faces. Yikes, that video quality was too clear yesterday. I did not need to see the hole in Roland's head. However, with Go to Meeting by Sistrix, it takes just a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team or your clients in real time, even on the go from your iPad. It helps build trust, confidence, and makes your meetings more effective. It not to mention all the money you save, all the hassle, all the time. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. The promo code is Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this, the Twilight Zone?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everybody, just get into it.
Stephanie Miller.
Get started. Get started. Get started. Let's get it started. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Been started for about 2.5 hours, actually.
Yeah.
Come late.
Let's get it finished.
Yeah. Great. Let's go. Drinking time. trying to go do some shots with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
23 minutes. Woo! Survey this girl night. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Two quick things, Steph.
Yes, yes.
First of all, I am astonished in the most happiest way to hear all these new fans calling you, because I'm someone who never watches TV during the day.
Right.
And, you know, and it's so great. But on the other hand, I'm really sort of jealous, because it's like we've had this wonderful little club of us, the chat room and all your radio fans. Now we have to share you. And
there. Mama loves us all equally now. Come on.
Oh,
you be nice to the new TV kids.
You know, I have to remember, we liberals always have a big tent, big hearts that can always accommodate more.
That's
there's
right.
More room.
That's right.
That in mind. But the other thing is, I have an answer for the woman who called before about polls. Because what she has to understand is the polls are not for people. They're not to educate. They're for the media. They're to create the phony baloney contest. Because everyone knew Mitt was going to get the nomination.
Right.
What is the last few months? It's all about, you know, it's what your good friend Jenkoy says. It's the money, Lebowski.
That's right. Of course. All right. I'm starting to talk like Jenk. I love him so much. By the way, speaking of polls, and we had Ari Berman on earlier, talked about the Supreme Court. We talked about Prop 8. I was talking about this great piece on the four Republicans that voted for marriage equality in New York in the New York Times Magazine. And I think, you know, these groups, NOM, National Organization of Marriage, or whatever, Dave Asher's
NOM.
They put up billboards all over these guys' districts going, you're next.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to work. They're so far out of the mainstream. I love this article. If the experience of New York's Republican dissenters teaches us anything, it's how quickly the political tide is turning, how quickly the untraditional is becoming normal. Is it moving quickly enough? The Supreme Court, with the issue maybe headed by the California test case, will decide the country's ready to accept gay marriage as a constitutional right. Quickly enough, the issue could be an asset or at least not a liability if Andrew Cuomo runs in 2016. Neither would surprise me. At the very least, voting for gay marriage, even if you're a Republican politician from the Heartland, these guys are all from upstate.
Yep.
From Lackport. Lackport, where your mama's from. Up the transit from Cheektowaga, Lackawanna, and Tanawanda. Where I'm from, near Buffalo. It's not the risk it would have been just a couple of years ago. The four defectors aren't guaranteed re-election, but if they lose, what they're saying is it's likely to be in spite of their marriage vote, not because of it.
Right.
The earth didn't stop spinning, said one consultant. The moon didn't fall into the pond. The people who live across the street are still the same people, except that they're married. One of them said, at the end of the day, wherever I end up, we'll have marriage equality in New York State. There isn't anything you can point to in a political career if you're just looking over the years you served. You can say it was as big as this. And that's one of the Republicans. Just saying.
And might I say that all of NOM's boycotts have failed miserably. They tried to boycott JCPenney. JCPenney's sales went through the roof. They tried to boycott Starbucks because Starbucks offers benefits.
Oh, the million moms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starbucks sales have gone through the roof. NOM is just a bunch of miserable failures.
They were the ones that tried to boycott Sweaty Balls.
Yes.
they were against Sweaty Balls, the Ben & Jerry's flavor of ice cream, and also Ellen DeGeneres. They were trying to get her in. As we said before, if you don't like Sweaty Balls or lesbians,
what do you like?
What do you like?
What
Seriously.
Do you do? Don't drink, don't smoke,
right.
Don't like gays.
What do you do? What do you do? Really? How can we serve you?
How can we help you?
How can we help
you? How can we help you to
help
stop
you.
Being you?
You know who did not get the memo? Oh, Kirk Cameron.
Huh.
Kirk Cameron hit by former child stars on gay comments. Have you seen The Funnier Die?
Well,
Various.
You did if you saw your Facebook page.
A group of former child stars banded together in a video to lambast comments made by Kirk Cameron in March, calling homosexuality unnatural, detrimental, and ultimately destructive to so many of the foundations of civilization.
Sure. Destructive to Griffith Park.
It's
you stop it now.
Louise Ward, we don't know. Okay. They formed a group called Child Celebrities Opposing Kirk Cameron, or, you know, for short.
Seacock.
Sure, Seacock. Together, we're pledging to raise awareness about a serious threat to our civil rights, Kirk Cameron's stupid opinions.
Yeah.
That's funny. By the way, this story is everything that's wrong with the media today, in addition to Wolf Blitzer. Have you seen the coverage already of the Pitt and Jolie wedding? It is so over the top.
Yeah.
They're talking about it's going to be bigger than Will and Kate in England.
What?
Stephen Galloway, who is,
Who's he?
He's
and you are.
But the Hollywood Reporter, he is just way over the top. This really is a state wedding. This is America's equivalent to Prince William and Kate Middleton. The prominent engagement ring is giving the world a warning. He said, it says, look out, get ready. This is going to be a map of the inner state of their private life. This is like criminology. You'll be able to read all sorts of things into this wedding.
Wow. Whatever.
Hyperbole much? Yeah, I'll there's more. It just goes on and on. Like, this is the biggest event to happen in the history of anything, anywhere.
No wonder I don't read The Hollywood Reporter.
Yes. Wow. Hysterical. All right, some real journalism with Eric Alterman and his fabulous new book as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah. good meals.
Stephanie Miller.
Getting hotter.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephen writes from Chicago, leave Kirk Cameron alone. You're lucky he doesn't still perform for you. All right. All right. Kids, I had me a long plane ride, and I got to read a big-ass book, but a really good book.
Yes.
Plane. It is The Cause, The Fight for American Liberalism from Franklin Roosevelt to Barack Obama. Eric Alterman, the author, joins us now. Hey, Eric, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your book. I was, you know, it's interesting. I was coming back from the Sexy Liberal Tour. We call it the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. And you know why? Because we're trying to take back that word. Because, you know, that's part of the premise
of your... The word sexy?
That's part of the premise of your book, is at some point it became a dirty word, right?
Yeah. Well, totally. You want me to expand on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that a question?
Yes, I remember. Yeah. I remember once going on Sean Hannity's radio show, and he said, "Are you a liberal?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And you know, I mean, if you go back and read those great quotes from John F. Kennedy about why I'm a liberal, it sums up everything that you know. At least we've always aspired to be, right?
Yeah, Kennedy is really the last president who was "quote unquote" proud to call himself a liberal. And I would say George McGovern is probably the last presidential candidate who would have copped to this word.
Right.
And it's around the time of McGovern that conservatives started investing heavily in demonizing the term and have done so successfully. But to be fair, it started way back first with Joe McCarthy and then with the New Left. The New Left hated liberal too, the leftist anti-liberal movement.
Right.
So I think there's a quote in there in the book. I'm kind of losing my mind from all the interviews, but there's a quote in liberal there that a liberal is someone who's getting beaten by the National Association of Manufacturers on the one hand and the commies on the other hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was from the 40s, but the same is true today in a few substitute
right.
commies.
Well, see, to me, progressive is a weenie word. I think that that as you point out, I mean, there's a really proud heritage to being a liberal. First of all, let's take us why was it important to share the history of liberalism at this time, right before the 2012 election?
Well, actually, I planned on sharing it before the 2008 election.
Yeah.
It took me 4 extra years to write the book.
Yeah.
It would have been a better time then because we wouldn't have had the disappointment, the liberal disappointment of the past 4 years.
Right. Well, and I mean, the world of the Tea Party now, though, in the 2012 elections, what role does liberalism play, do you think?
Well, there's really two forms of liberalism that are alive today. One of them's barely alive. That's economic liberalism. That's the liberalism of the New Deal. And I think it's the more important form of liberalism. And that's in lousy shape. Cultural liberalism is in great shape. It's
mm-hmm.
winning. My daughter is going to grow up in a world where, you know, gays are not discriminated against and a world where difference is okay. It doesn't have to be celebrated, but it's fine. It's not something to be ashamed of. Whereas this is a victory of liberal popular culture. That's why an awful lot about the book is about popular culture.
Yeah, there was some... Go ahead.
Sorry.
I am a
cultural liberal, but I do think that cultural liberalism has become too important to liberalism and that they've lost sight of the economic engine that makes it all possible.
Do you think the president is reclaiming...
I'll just finish one more sentence.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
And so inequality has exploded at the same time that cultural liberalism has succeeded. And that's a failure of liberalism. Okay, now I'm done.
Yeah, I gotcha. Sorry, this connection's a little wonky. The president, though, I mean, do you think that in the, you know, we just came from Madison, as I was saying, where, you know, I think the, you know, not only the labor movement, but the We Are the 99% movement has started. Do you think the president is seizing that and will continue to as we roll into the election?
Well, he may seize it as we roll into the election, but he'll drop it the day after the election, unless liberals are able to find a way to force him to stick to it. I mean, he was a pretty good liberal in the 2008 election, I thought, but he stopped being a liberal after his inauguration speech.
Well,
I think that's a reflection of power in Washington, and so we need to find a way to force him to respond to power. That's what politicians do.
Well, I also, I mean, in my opinion, Eric, we need to get him, you know, more of a Congress he can work with, because I it's not just me saying he's been up against unprecedented obstructionism. You can look at it, at the charts, and see the number of filibusters, etc.
No, that's what my previous book was about. It was called Kabuki Democracy, and it was about all the different manners in which our democracy failed to function. And that book was actually quite sympathetic to Obama, saying nobody could make this system work.
Well, my co-host here, Jim Ward, who is the official Obama naysayer of the show, he always says, oh, well, Lyndon Johnson would have done X. That's part of in your book, right, about, you know, do you think because of the times in which they lived, you know, they were able to do what they did, or would they be as effective today?
Well, I was at a dinner party this summer with Robert Caro, who's a friend of mine, and I was making this argument, and he said just what your naysayer said. Lyndon Johnson made a much worse system work. And it's true, but, you know, if you have to go back to an example that's 60 or 70 years old to find someone who can make it work, you've got a real problem. So there is a real problem with the system. And Barack Obama, for better and for worse, is no Lyndon Johnson. He's a go-along guy rather than a shake things up guy.
Right, but what I'm saying is some of the people you know that had much bigger majorities, you actually specifically say FDR and Johnson, correct?
Right. They had a lot of things that Barack Obama didn't have. They didn't have this wishy-washy. The most important thing they didn't have is a political system that was so profoundly dominated by the power of money. That's become much, much, much worse. And liberals let it happen. But now they have to deal with a much more difficult situation as a result.
Well, I mean, that's why, one of the subjects we talked about today is the Supreme Court. That's why it's so important, because, the court has moved so far to the right, that I think that's going to be one of the key fights in this next election, right?
Well, it ought to be, but it won't be.
Talking about the reason for you to get out and vote, if for no other reason.
I think if you look at the Republican Party, you don't really need any other reason. I mean, there's one party that's crazy and one party that's not crazy.
Yep.
It's not even that Mitt Romney is crazy. He probably isn't. But he's got to appoint people who are. That's where his appointments have to come from. So the government will be run by crazy people.
Yep.
If he wins.
Eric, and before you go, I love the part about, it's the people that when you think of great liberal minds, Bruce Springsteen, he's included in the book, as is Billie Holiday, who I love.
Yeah.
Talk about their contributions.
Well, Springsteen is really a very good example, because Springsteen manages to give voice simultaneously to economic liberal populism and cultural liberalism. And he does it coming from a working class background. The thing he doesn't have to do is implement actual policy, you know? So I when I was at Springsteen last Monday night, I sat next to a guy who was a Republican, and he loved the show, and he'd seen 100 Springsteen shows. And he didn't mind that he didn't have Springsteen's politics. He probably wouldn't have voted for him, though. So it's very useful to show that people can coexist with this Truth is kind of a militant liberal, but he respects his other views.
Well, he was sort of always the musical weird, 99% movement, wasn't he? That's sort of what he's been speaking to for a long time.
Yeah, but he does it respectfully, even when he gets in trouble politically, like with that song 41 Shots. The song is actually quite sympathetic to the policeman who's doing the shooting, as to the victim. So I think Springsteen is a good example of how you can be a militant liberal, but if you show respect for the other side, you don't have to apologize for it. The biggest problem liberals have is they're always apologizing for their beliefs, and they should be proud of their beliefs, but they should also respect the other side's beliefs, not their imaginations, but their beliefs.
Well, I think the book is fascinating. It's called The Cause, The Fight for American Liberalism, from Franklin Roosevelt to Barack Obama. Eric Alterman, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you again soon. You can tell he's punch drunk from too many people.
Yeah, I think so.
Do we have time to do the actual Kennedy quote on being a liberal?
Oh, yes,
sure.
Please. Are we doing Guess the Quote? Oh, no, you already told us. All right, go ahead.
If by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties. Someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad. If that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say I'm a liberal.
Yeah!
Thank you! God bless America! God bless your JFK impression. Lowell in Nebraska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lowell, welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm a first-time watcher. I just got current TV with my dish satellite system, and awesome. I'm loving your show.
Thank you. First-time girl watcher. Awesome.
You betcha. First time. Thank you for having me. Hey, you guys have a chat room or anything?
Yes, we do. Just go to current.com, and you'll find where it says live chat.
Please, chat away.
All right. Thank you. I'm going right there right now.
Chat at will.
All right, please, talk amongst yourselves. We'll be back. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi.
Is she talking backwards?
It's me.
Stephanie Miller.
What? London Bridge fell into Lake Havasu?
What? 49 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Solar World. They've been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. All right, tomorrow, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks and Representative Jim McDermott, whom we love. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Chris in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, sitting here, I've got the day off. I'm sitting here watching a show with a new fan of yours, and they wanted to say hi.
Awesome. Who is it?
It's Casey.
Casey?
It's 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah, we're watching on Current, and he looked at TV and went, Stephanie.
Oh.
Bam, bam.
Say hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Steph.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, cute as Bugs' teeth. Hi, Daisy. Pardon me? Okay. All right. Oh, that is so precious.
2-year-olds don't know how to modulate yet.
That is, that's no. Inside voices.
Much
okay.
Like Republican commentators.
Yeah.
Okay. That was like a Republican pundit. Okay.
I'm not saying anything consequential, but I'm saying it really loudly.
Wow. All right. I was talking about, this is a story about what's wrong with American media, in addition to Wolf Blitzer.
Right.
This coverage of the Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, I don't know why I'm fascinated with this guy, Galloway from the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
Give me some kind of huge music. Huge, momentous. It's the biggest story in the world ever in the history of anywhere. It's a Hollywood story. Yeah. What? Okay.
I don't know.
Whatever.
This music?
Okay. He said, people who've been together a long time get married when things are going great or when you want to shore things up that are not so great. So the story is, you see, either things are going great or they're not. But either way, it's unbelievably important.
How did
he said a mini industry will be created as a result of this wedding. The money generated by the wedding and direct fees to them and indirect income to other people will be more than the equivalent of everything the two of them earned in their career. You're talking about two empires meeting.
What if they just want a small wedding in their backyard?
No, it's got to be two empires meeting.
Whatever.
Something. All right. By the way, what happened? I thought they said they weren't going to get married until everybody could.
This guy kind of sounds like a tool.
God.
Yeah.
And by the way, I apologize that Dana Loesch has blocked you on Twitter. That must really...
And she was...
Left a hole in your
this
life.
This close to convincing me to turn right wing. This close, and then she blocks me.
Huh. And what was it you said that caused her to block you?
I said the real war on women is...
You can. It's proved by the Dana Loesch's hair.
Hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's
whoever does
that's
her
funny.
Hair is more against women, obviously.
Well.
Courtney Love's daughter thinks Twitter should ban her mother.
Well.
Yeah.
That might be. Maybe can we do that?
Yeah.
Frances Bean lashed out at her mother, Courtney Love, proclaiming on Twitter that her late husband Kurt Cobain's bandmate Dave Grohl had hit on Frances and that she was curious. She said, "While I'm generally silent on the affairs of my biological mother, her recent tirade has taken a gross turn. I've never been approached by Dave Grohl in more than a platonic way. I'm in a monogamous relationship and very happy. Twitter should ban my mother." Oh, there's a book coming.
No, she said biological mom.
Yeah.
She doesn't count her as a real mom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Would you?
Ouch.
Good Lord.
Yikes. Wow. Hey, check this out. Gingrich staffer promptly shuts down an interview after a student reporter asked about Roger Ailes' remarks.
Oh.
Student for University of North Carolina. Woo-hoo. Go Tar Heels. Had an interview with Newt Gingrich. The student was told no topics were off-limit.
Hmm.
Off-limits. Oops.
Except that one, apparently.
Ailes recently said Gingrich is trying to get a job at CNN because he knows he isn't going to come back to Fox. And so, wow. Even before I had a chance, the reporter said, even before I had a chance on Saturday to relay Ailes' comments, the aide pressed his hands against me. Several Secret Service agents stopped me in my tracks. You're not asking that. You're done.
Wow.
Wow, Zeke Heil, y'all.
Yeah. Wow. Lord, Secret Service did their job in that case.
Wow.
Well, how about that?
Zoinks. All right, Senator Chuck Schumer talking about the Buffett rule yesterday.
Are they for it or against it? They say, well, it won't pass. It won't pass because they're opposed to it.
Yeah, Senator Mitch McLiplis of the great state of Kentucky talking about
that. Anytime the president proposed anything in the past, he told us how many jobs it would create. Apparently, those days are over. Nobody's even claiming this thing creates jobs.
Create jobs, turning poor people into mulch.
We apologize for the accuracy of Jim Ward's impression of Mitch McConnell, and we don't know if he said poor people should be made into mulch.
He just thinks it.
But he could have.
I want to turn...
The actual headline, Republicans to slash food stamps, so...
See? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly my point.
House Republicans began rolling out a first wave of $33.2 billion in, oh, they call it savings.
Oh, savings?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Which means
I call it,
making poor people into mulch.
I call it starving poor people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Average family of four faces an 11% cut in monthly benefits after September 1st. This hits hardest among the long-term unemployed, many of whom have never used the aid before but have found it valuable in trying to stay afloat in the current recession.
Well, I think they should shrink. That's my point.
I think we should turn Mitch McConnell on his back and then spin him like a top.
Where's my turtle puddle?
I love this story in Politico. Mitt, GOP awkward lawmakers embrace warily. The most awkward man in the world. Awkward relationships with everyone.
Yeah.
Even other awkward politicians. So there was a story about Mitt Romney called Paul Ryan to get the details on his plan that he then declared was marvelous.
That's marvelous. I don't understand, but fabulous. It looks marvelous.
He went through point by point his plan to overhaul Medicare,
meaning
Medicaid.
Destroy.
Yes.
Throw in the wood chipper,
yeah,
if you will.
Yes.
Grind it into mulch.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. President Obama would like nothing more than to paint Romney as part of the Republican conference, which, of course, claimed close to defaulting on the nation's debt and shutting down the government. So, yeah, I would lash him right to the budget monster's budget. Mm-hmm. Why with the White House? Romney may need to distance himself from congressional Republicans on select issues. Yes, yeah, don't worry. He'll flip-flop on whatever he needs to. One consultant said, I don't think it'll be a big, wet, slobbery French kiss, but they'll be holding hands from time to time. He and the Republican caucus.
Yeah, there's no greater endorsement than that. Good Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, God.
You say, Boehner and Cantor have made it clear that in the upcoming weeks, their teams will be sitting down with Governor Romney's campaign to make sure that a tax extenders package...
Sorry, what?
Yeah, it's a... That we advance is on the same page with the Republican nominee. It's just
I think
more...
I saw some of that at the liquor store by the cash register.
Brenda in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brenda. Welcome.
Hi. Just regarding the GOP, after Obama became president and the older white woman said she wanted her country back,
yes.
So do I, from the Republicans that are trying to do away with unions, voting rights, family planning, Roe versus Wade, health insurance, and so forth.
Yep, that's right. Shirley.
Turn it into mulch.
Shirley in Philadelphia. Hi, Shirley.
Well, I'm glad to hear all the people from Philly calling in today.
I know. It's Philly Day.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a
don't
great
throw batteries at me. All right.
Yeah. Funny thing, you should mention food stamps because the hungercoalition.org, I might mention, in Philadelphia is having something that Romney could take advantage of next week. From April 23rd through the 29th, we are enlisting people to live on $5 a day. That's the average amount of money a person on food stamps gets. Now, all of our elective officials have signed up. I have, and I work in a homeless shelter, so, I mean, I know I don't look twice at food.
I'll
so
do
it.
I'll do it if you can find me a $5 box of wine because I can get through. Mama needs her medicine to get through the day. All right, Eddie in Massachusetts, you close us out today. Go ahead. Hey, Eddie.
Hi, thanks everybody. I would like to say a couple of quick things and then I'll hang up and wish everybody a beautiful week.
You got about 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I wanted to say I hope Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts hands Scott Brown his rear end this coming Senate
All right,
race here.
That's the only thing you got to say. We're out of time and that's the only thing you need to say. Go on with it, Elizabeth Warren. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums. And surly, and general surliness. And Courtney and the gang in the current TV control room. We'll see tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.